didn't believe my eyes at first. I was like, wait, what? And I was like, dude, are you seeing this? Like, it says it's number five in photo and video. And he's like, yeah, dude, that's crazy. I was like, no. Like, this was not popular before. I don't know what's going on. I started freaking out. It had been on the top charts for the like 3 prior days. And I didn't even know it. And it was getting like 50,000 downloads a day.
What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have a very good friend of mine, Darren Asaro. Darren's been a builder his entire life, which really skyrocketed when he found coding. He's developed a number of apps, one of which actually peaked at number 5 in the App Store. We talked about him actually not having habits and having a very unconstructed life, and that really helps towards the creativity of his apps, and how Tame Impala made Darren rich. It's a really good episode. I had lots of fun filming. Hope you enjoy this episode of the Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard.
I'm all right. I do have a cold. If I sound a little weird. I got a cold in a heat wave. Leave it to me.
And now we're in a hurricane. So
I know. I know. But yeah, I mean, other than that, I feel like I'm in decent spirits.
That's good. Yeah. And everything's been going well with you. So you're the founder of DazeCam and Sweet Film. You are an app developer, which we're going to get into, and a good friend of mine since high school.
Yep. All very true.
All very true. So first, actually, speaking of high school, I did want to talk. So I remember back in the day, you were coding wall balls. Was that your first app that you put on the App Store?
Yes, it was. So that was like the summer between junior and senior year of high school. When I made that, I basically just wanted to make something that my friends could use. And this is also coming off of like the whole Flappy Bird craze, when that was huge, and there's all the headlines that the developer was making $50,000 a day and stuff like that. And so I was kind of hyped on making a kind of a simple game for the App Store. And I just wanted to make something my friends would use. I didn't play very many games back then. I still don't really play games, but I just thought it would be a fun project. And so
you just make them.
Yeah, well, I did. and so, yeah. And then I remember just being obsessed with making it between that junior and senior year time span. And then when I released it, I remember it kind of went like a little viral at CCA at high school.
I didn't understand at that time, like, what were we, 17, 18? I didn't understand the weight of you being someone who's really good at coding, good enough to make this game that like got some recognition, not just at our school, but you put it in the App Store. So like other people found it without marketing or anything. Like it was just a fun game to play. And I guess it never hit me that like you knew how to do that and you kind of taught yourself, because there wasn't any really coding classes around, right?
Yeah, but I had kind of started getting into programming even before that. And yeah, I mean, that code was absolute trash, like literally so bad. I made it happen, but it was so terrible. But yeah, it did
for a week.
Yeah. I mean, so it was monetized through, I had like a little banner ad on it and also a in-app purchase to get extra levels. And I made like a couple bucks a day, which is cool. You know, at the end of the month, it was like, you know, $60, $70, $80 or something, which was like cool. Like that's like a tank of gas or something.
but still, you were doing this back in high school. Like, yeah, I didn't know many people. I didn't know many people were doing coding stuff, quite honestly.
Yeah, there was. there's a couple of us. I would always try to get other kids to do projects with me, like kids that sat next to me in classes and stuff. And no one really wanted to do anything or would just listen to me. So I was always kind of just like, oh, I guess this is just gonna be a solo thing.
Yeah, and then you just had Jacob help you with levels. He said he made one. Yeah, it was definitely free tier. That was not a paid one for sure. I'm putting money on that.
Oh yeah, 100%. No, I thought it'd be cool to have some of the boys make some levels. So I think Jacob made one, Jimmy made one, Jason King made one.
Oh, shout out. So yeah. What else did your early portfolio look like? Because right now the big one that there's a project that you're kind of working on, but then there's also DazeCam, which is your really big app that kind of blew up. But is there anything in between that and Wall Balls? Any other projects that you worked on?
Oh, yeah. So in college, there was a lot of projects I started that never really came to completion for a number of reasons. I was like making a social media type app with my freshman year roommate that we spent a lot of time on, and then it kind of just fizzled out. And then I made an app, just a joke app, where it was like when Donald Trump was running for president. And so I made an app where you had a second to decide if a picture was of Donald Trump's face zoomed in or a piece of raw chicken. Yeah. So, and then you'd see how many times you could get it in a row, and you get a score. And then at the end, we recorded my friend playing the national anthem on a kazoo. So that was like the background music, but that was just like, a joke. And I remember I was like, oh, this could go viral. You never know. And then I ended up being like, okay, this is just horrible to have associated with me. So I'm taking this off the app store. And this is before the election results came out. And I was like, he's not going to get elected anyway. And then he got fucking elected. Yeah. Wait, can we cuss on this podcast?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay.
So you just saved yourself from the NSA watching your every step, even though they probably already are, because you're
you.
because in your free time, you code Donald Trump chicken apps. That's why your search history is on a list.
Yeah. And then nothing really major until DazeCam. Which is, so basically I graduated college, and then I was having a lot of trouble finding a job. I don't know, because I graduated in 3 years, and one of them was I was abroad. So I only had one internship, and everyone was like, yeah, just didn't care to interview me, whatever. And I was pissed off. And so
your default I felt. Setting.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to make something to spruce up my portfolio. And then so
yeah,
I was just like, I'll make a photo editing app. I'm kind of interested in it. I think it would be a fun challenge. And so that's how I got started on it. And I made it, published it, and then I got a job, and then kind of a little way into the job, then that's when it took off. But the story, I was at that point, I just almost forgot it existed. I wasn't checking the downloads, anything like that. And I just remember talking to one of my coworkers one day, and we were talking about, you know, what we've been working on. And I was telling him about DazeCam, and he looked it up on the app store, and he's like, oh, is this the right one? And he kind of showed me his phone. And it said in the app store description thing, number 5 in photo and video or whatever. And I was like, I just like didn't believe my eyes at first. I was like, wait, what? And I was like, dude, are you seeing this? Like, it says it's number 5. in photo and video. And he's like, yeah, dude, that's crazy. I was like, no. Like, this was not popular before. I don't know what's going on. I started freaking out. And it was not monetized or anything. And so I went home, and it had been on the top charts for the like 3 prior days. I didn't even know it. And it was getting like 50,000 downloads a day.
Jesus. And you didn't even know this was happening.
I just had no idea. It had gotten popular from some TikTok trend, and I didn't even use TikTok either. And after that, that's when I scrambled to monetize it.
Yeah. Damn. So since you weren't on TikTok, did you find that TikTok that made it famous, or was it someone kind of showed you?
It was a TikTok of a related app, like a similar kind of vintage photo app. Mm. And that skyrocketed all of the other vintage photo apps.
Oh, and then they realized, I actually looked up DazeCam one time and saw there was like multiple articles. And I know it wasn't you going out and doing the marketing, because like one of the articles was from the UK, and they were just talking about like the best 90s vintage camera apps. And they were like, DazeCam, hands down, number one. Like, it's the best. And I was like, let's go, Darren.
Yeah. I got super, super into just perfecting that look, which is, people always ask me, oh, are you like big into photography, whatever.
Why? I feel like what made you want to like hone in on that 90s vintage look? First of all, like, what made you pick the 90s? And second of all, like, why were you so interested and fascinated in this?
So this is kind of funny. I, senior year of high school, I was interested in Tame Impala, the band, and M83. And so I was just kind of like, this is when I started getting into like music production and stuff. And I was wondering what were they using to make these insane sounds? And I figured out it was a synthesizer. So I was researching analog synthesizers, and I went on Reddit, and I went to the analog subreddit thinking it would be an analog synthesizer subreddit, but it was analog photography. And I was looking at the photos, and I was like, oh, this is super interesting. All these photos just look, they just have a different feel to them that I don't get with normal photos. And I was just subscribed to that subreddit. And then, so, you know, almost daily I would see these film photos. And at one point, and I just really like them. I don't really know why. I just like the look of them. And at some point I went on the app store and tried to find like, oh, I wonder if there's an app that is good at making your iPhone photos look like film photos. And there was a lot of apps that attempted to do that, but I didn't feel like they accomplished it super well. And then so I kind of started messing with some programming, just programming filters, seeing what I could come up with. And then I got to the point where I was like, I think I can make something that's at least as good as what's on the app store right now. And
you made the best.
And well, I mean, by some accounts,
there's still a lot to think so.
There's still work to be done, in my opinion.
Yeah. But you got imposters, which is big.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's super annoying.
They just dropped one letter, DazeCam.
It's confusing for a lot of people. So I just don't even go there.
Just don't download it. Dave.
Yeah. That's how, so the weird trajectory of how I got interested in
that. So we got a number 5 app in the photo section of the app store because of Tame Impala, basically. That's what I'm hearing.
In a really weird way, yes. And if we want to go back even further, I was watching a surf video on Vimeo, and it happened to have a Tame Impala song that just really resonated with me. I knew what Tame Impala was, but I didn't listen to them. And I heard it was like Mind Mischief. And I was like, oh, this song is so sick. And then that's how I got into Tame Impala. So if it wasn't for that video, for surfing, that surf video, it's like, you could just keep going.
Yeah, dude. Damn. It's It's crazy how your path just kind of finds itself. You know what you want to do, but you don't really know how it gets there.
Yeah. Pretty insane.
How long? So have you known you wanted to code and do computer science for a long time?
Basically. I mean, I always have been a maker, like just make things since basically came out of the womb. According to my mom, I was just putting stuff together. She said I would just dump out the recycling and start stacking shit. Yeah, building things.
So were you and a big Lego kid?
Yeah, big Lego. So my phase is I was super into roller coasters when I was younger, and I would design. We've discussed this, and I'd have sketchbooks. I'd design the roller coasters. I looked up all the stats and like knew all the trivia and stuff. And then when I got into skateboarding, I would make my own ramps, like make my own mini ramp. And then I would make mini like fingerboards.
Yeah, I remember you guys had that in the backyard.
Yeah, I had a whole workshop in my garage, and I'd make little mini skate parks as well. And then I got into RC planes.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't know that. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It was before drones were really a thing. It was like it was called FPV back then, first person view. And you'd kind of just buy these security camera equipment and hook them up to your plane and then fly them around. It was really just janky. So that I was super into that. And then after that kind of came the programming phase. But it's always been some phase that involved
of like making building
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, so what the program, when you started programming, did you stop doing physical things? Like, do you like engines, building any car things, motors?
Well, I did kind of stop the other things. Mainly because I really only like to focus on one thing at a time. I have a hard time just juggling multiple projects. And programming is just so powerful because you don't need any money. You don't need any gear, anything. You just need your fingertips and your laptop, whatever. You can just go. And when you have an iPhone has a touch screen, has a camera, has a mic. There's just so many outlets for creativity with those things. And I don't know, I find it super fun to just do stuff like that, especially when, you know, I'm interested in video, photo, music.
Yeah.
It's just endless.
What's the next creativity? Where are the muses calling you now? What's the next projects?
I want to make an app that makes it super easy to collaborate musically with your friends and other people around the world. It's basically the problem I want to solve, and I got it, you know, it's been marinating in my head for probably almost 3 years now.
Damn.
And I think, you know, I've designed it and everything, and I'm pretty confident how it looks at the moment. If everything can just be implemented the way I have it in the designs, then I feel like that would be super promising.
Sweet. It's the next big thing. Are you going to market this one, or are you going to go like Days Cam, let it ride, and just open the app store one day and hope it's on the top?
I'm sure, you know, it really depends. I think the concept will be kind of viral by nature. But if it needs a little push, then I'll probably try to figure out some marketing schemes. Sweet Film, the other film photo app I made, I also didn't market that. And it also kind of organically just caught traction. It took a while, though.
The Darren Asaro portfolio on iTunes is just, or the App Store is popping off.
Yeah, it's not where I want it to be. I mean, it's, you know, very grateful for the success I've had, but still, yeah. I still like just want to improve the products. I still feel like there's more people to reach. You know how that goes.
Yep. And now we're going to switch over to talking a bit about your habits. So you've called yourself, and I quote, unconstructed and lazy. Yet you've managed to do all these really cool things. Do you have a set of routines on your day-to-day basis, or you just kind of let it ride?
I really just let it ride, I guess. So when I say I'm lazy, it's more of just stuff that I'm so bad at doing things that I don't want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Programming, making my apps and stuff, that's stuff I just want to do. It's not, I don't feel like it's work.
It's like you don't need motivation to do those things. You just do them.
No, not at all. I don't. It's just what I would do regardless of whether it was like a source of income or not. So the things I don't want to do, which sometimes there's elements to making the apps that I don't want to do, like making UI components is super boring to me. I hate doing that. I'll procrastinate it so much.
The users should just like it already.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I say I can be lazy. And then also I'll go on kind of just insane sprints where I'll go super hard for weeks at a time and then just will get fucking nothing done for like 2 weeks after that.
That's and so what do you do in these 2 weeks? Are you just like surfing?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Touching your computer stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely touch on it and stuff. I'm just not really going hard. You know, it's something like maybe the waves are super good and one of my friends is in town, something like that. And then it's like, well, might as well make time for it.
Yeah, you've always had I'm glad you said you're grateful, because like you've had the opportunity to have this app bring in income that you can take sprints, but then also just take that time off. You're not like constricted by a 9-to-5 job that you have to show up on those certain days.
I'm sure if everything just went to hell and the app for some reason just plummeted, which is a very real possibility. If that happened, I'm sure I'd be kicking myself and be like, oh, I should have worked on it harder and stuff like that. But, you know, for the time being, I've definitely put in a lot of work and energy into it, and tangential things that have helped me with building it as well. So,
yeah. Now, it's like, I'm not a coder, but it's my understanding coding is a very creative pursuit. When you are coding in like this creative way, how does it help having a free schedule versus being told you have to show up at these times?
I'd almost compare it to making music, which I know you can relate to, where you can't always just force it. Stuff will just kind of come to you when it comes to you. And then you also, want a long stretches of time to just focus as well.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm like, oh, I'm going to need to eat in 45 minutes, I can't get started on anything.
Have you ever read Maker's Schedule, Manager's Schedule, an essay by Paul Graham?
I actually think I might have, which is really funny because I don't read anything.
Really? You don't read like books or anything outside of the coding stuff?
No.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't really seek out things to help me with motivation or scheduling or habits and stuff like that, because it's always, I feel like it's always what I've would have done. I've always, my entire life, like I said, I've been making things and I've been producing final products. It's been working for me. So I've never felt the need to kind of modify what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I guess.
Interesting. I feel like it's, I was thinking about this the other day where, some traits just come very naturally to people versus others. Like you really have to work on them. Like for me, I do have to work on, like, I'm a very habitual person, but that's something that I've just noticed for who I am. It works and really helps me get the things I need to do done because I'm not by nature organized. Or one mm-hmm. thing that we've talked about that I know you're really good at is being detail oriented. That is not a way to describe me at all. So yeah, I like these habits are almost a way of like grounding me in the day to day details of life and just keeping me on track.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's habits that I can pick up and things that I need to change. I'm also just really stubborn and I'm kind of, I kind of feel like, oh, if I can't do it my way, then I don't want to do it at all.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was on the subway in New York City and I was sitting next to my friend and the person across from us was reading the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I didn't really know what it was. I didn't know that book was kind of a phenomenon in itself.
Yeah.
So I kind of just made the comment to my friend. I said, it was like, oh, I'd never read that. And then he's like, what do you mean? Like, I've read that. And I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, no, I feel like there's a lot of useful things you can take away from it. And I was like, ah, yeah, maybe. But at the same time, I'm so stubborn that I just, if I can't do it my way, then maybe I just don't want to do it at all.
Dude, that's a really well-known book. I think I've talked about it on the show like more than once. That was honestly a really helpful book for me in my like early years learning how to be a better person.
You wouldn't assume from the title it would make you a better person. The title is just a nice way of saying how to manipulate people to get things you want.
Yeah. Okay. Win friends and influence people. That does sound really manipulative, but like a lot of his book is saying like, the more genuine and kind you are towards others, the easier it'll be for them to be the same back. Like that's pretty much what he says. So it's not as icky as it seems.
Yeah. So I've kind of heard from
from multiple people who are like, don't be so
from stubborn. From people who've actually read the book and didn't just judge it by its cover like I did.
I'm going to get that to you for Christmas gift.
I promise you I won't read it.
You're going to use it as fire for your pizza oven in the back?
Yeah. I just can't. I can't. I have a hard time reading stuff. I listen to podcasts, though.
Yeah. I think the same way you'd read books on like coding is the way I would read books on social skills and conversation skills, people things. I don't know why, but that's like always been the most fascinating like subject for me is like humans interacting.
Yeah. You know, I can definitely see that.
So now, now going on to what you like to do for fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is you finish your app and you go on benders. What else do you like to do?
I go surfing when the waves are good. I go snowboarding and try to go snowboarding.
Did you get the Icon Pass this year? Were you part of that group?
Yeah. I'm trying to go to Whistler, in December or something.
Where's that?
I'm trying to do more snowboarding this year because I kind of just follow, you know, the whole group kind of has to be on the same page to get a trip going. But this, and so we, I only end up getting in a couple days. But this year I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to go solo if I have to.
Yeah. Denver's going to be on the list of cities we hit up then.
Yeah.
In the winter, at least.
Yeah. I like hanging out with friends. Kind of what.
We do that a lot.
That's where the benders come from. you just hang out with your friends and you have too much fun.
Too much fun. Excessive fun. And you also make music. So correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah.
The instruments you play, you're the best at the drums because it's what you've been playing the longest. But you also do guitar, bass, you sing. Do you do any keys, piano?
Yeah, a little bit. All those things I'm not very technically impressive with. I would not impress anyone with any of those individual instruments. But when I can put it all together and make a little song or whatever, then it can sound decent. Yeah. But individually I'm really unimpressive.
I'm gonna use that as the title. So what got you started into music then? Because I feel like this is, I mean, you got a whole studio set up in the garage. So I feel like this is something you do think about and do frequently.
Mm-hmm. My grandpa was like a jazz musician.
Really?
And then my dad was a drummer. So my grandpa was a drummer, but he like composed stuff and played other instruments. My dad is just hardcore drummer. He's just obsessed with the drums. He's played in bands and he's in a cover band. He's in like cover band right now.
Really? What a baller.
Yeah.
Why is your dad cooler than you? Every story I hear of him, he's sick.
I'm a sad excuse for a son. I'll never live up to him. No, he's kidding.
Darren, there's something else we should unpack here. What happened in soccer? What happened in those soccer leagues?
Yeah, my dad and I are very similar in our fieriness.
In your stubbornness.
And it'll come out on the field. But yeah, so basically my dad tried to get me to start drumming when I was pretty young. And I would get lessons, but they were just from this old guy who was trying to teach me this jazz technique and this paradiddles and shit. And I was like 8 years old and I was like, I don't care about paradiddle. I want to play Green Day. Like, just teach me how to play Green Day. I just didn't understand the necessity to learn fundamentals or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of just ditched it. And then when I discovered Tame Impala again, the drums of the Tame Impala songs just I thought were really sick. So I got back on the drum set and started trying to learn it. And I basically learned how to play the drums by playing to the album Lonerism. I would just try to play it all the way through. And then after that, I was like, like I said, wanted to get into synthesizers. And then eventually I was like, well, might as well get a bass and see what that's about as well. And then after that was the guitar, but
So you did bass before guitar?
Yeah.
Damn, that's pretty sweet.
My freshman year roommate in college played the guitar. So I was like, oh, I'll get a bass.
Yeah.
And then we can play together.
Huh. Yeah, that's pretty dope.
I feel like the bass is like a life hack. It's like shortest distance to being in a cool band.
Yeah, that's facts. And it's also like not as difficult. Like, you could play difficult songs on the bass and learn them quicker than a difficult song on guitar.
Yeah.
And now you also like traveling. I know you've had some big times in Australia and New Zealand. Where are some of your favorite places that you travel to, and what do you like so much about it?
So I guess in general, I like travel. I just kind of want to experience everything possible that I could possibly experience before I settle down or whatever. I'm whatever super terrified. Means. Yeah, this sounds super lame, but I'm so terrified that, one day I'm going to have a wife and kids and I'm going to think to myself, wow, yeah, I know.
Knowing you, full stop.
It's hard to imagine
having a wife and kids. Done.
So
what were you saying?
Yeah, I'm so scared that I might think back and be like, oh, I wish I just experienced this thing, or I wish I just went to this place while I still had time. So I just want to get it all. I just want to get it all in. Just travel the entire world and just get in. And I mean, yeah, I'm still like, I haven't even been to Europe, but I've been to Australia, New Zealand. Well, Australia's, well, a lot of the places are just mainly for surfing. So that's what Australia was for. I've been to Nicaragua 3 times.
What different parts, or did you stay in the same?
I've been to San Juan del Sur 2 times. And then this place called The Boom 1 time.
Dude, you should go to El Salvador.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the connecting flight is.
Yeah, good waves, I've heard.
Yeah,
Some of our friends have done trips there, I believe. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Rezo.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, I'm interested in going there.
All right, well, we got some cities on the list for mutual traveling, so pretty excited. Looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of on the same boat where I just want to check out different... I just want to experience different things. Like, I feel like traveling really changes your perspective, even if it's, like, inside the U.S. Like, when I lived in Boston, the people, the architecture, the culture, like, the weather, everything is so radically different than San Diego. And, like, it's the same country. They're just on opposite sides of it. And so it kind of made me realize, like, there's so much... I want to explore so many different cities, different people that I really just want to go out and see what I can find, see how it, see what kind of shifts in perspective I can get.
Yeah. It reminds me, you met Jeremy, right?
Yeah.
So he was obsessed with going to an insanely small town in Mississippi and just for the cultural just slap in the face.
Did he ever do that?
He was just trying to scheme it super hard. He hasn't done it yet, but it's definitely still on his mind. He just wants to feel that insane stimulus of being somewhere so radically different from anywhere else, even though he would definitely not align with them ideologically or anything. He just wants to see what it is and how insanely different it is from everywhere else.
Respect, dude.
Which
anyone's doing Jeremy. It's Jeremy.
Yeah. Which I'm like kind of on that same wave. I've never really been to the South either. I'm like, I just want to see it as well.
Yeah. Well, sweet. Darren, with that, I wanted to say thank you very much for coming on. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for talking to me. Now I have just a couple of closing questions. You kind of answered some, but after that, yeah, we'll be good. I'm not going to ask what you're reading right now because nothing. How to win friends and influence people. That's what it is.
Yeah.
What kind of music? We can switch it up. Yeah. What kind of music do you listen to lately?
Let's see. Oh, okay. So I think I might have told you this before, but I kind of listen to just like 4 songs in rotation at all time. I can just look. Let's see. One of them is Cherry Waves by Deftones. You showed me the song, Rich Spirit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah,
that's a super cool song. And then that song Razorblade by The Strokes. I saw The Strokes recently. So
really? Were they at that festival?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And yeah, and then like a couple of others. But those are the main ones.
Instead of books, what kind of podcasts are you listening to?
I used to listen to a lot more podcasts when I was living alone. But yeah. So now I don't really listen to very many podcasts, but I was listening to My First Million a bunch, probably the most.
Yeah.
I listened to How I Built This.
With Guy Raz.
Yeah, I've listened to every episode of that.
Mother at heart.
Yeah, I just love those come up stories. It's so invigorating. And then Indie Hack. I was listening to Indie Hackers. I don't even know if that's still going anymore. Which is another kind of just maker entrepreneur type podcast.
Have you ever heard Brains podcast?
Mm-mm.
It's with Cortland's from the guy from Indie Hackers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
Cortland Allen.
Him and someone else. I can't remember who. But they always bring two adjacent guests who are really good in their field and have them have conversations. So one episode, they had James Clear and Mark Manson to talk about Atomic Habits and the Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. So talk about like them being authors and how their similarities coming up. They did one episode about podcasting, which was really cool. They had... I believe it was Sean Puri and who else? They've also had Sampar on it, but it was Sean Puri and Jason Calcanis. I don't know how to say his last name. Yeah, but they had both of them on to talk about like the art of podcasting. And so they have like two similar guests talk about their respective field and what they're good at. Really well put together, really well done. And the two hosts are awesome. So that's how I've heard of Cortland and Indie Hackers.
Yeah, no, that's a good podcast. And then, you know, and then I'll listen to random episodes of other podcasts when there's some cool person on it, you know, like Mr. Beast was on Joe Rogan's podcast or something. Yeah. And that was
a million too.
Yeah, he's doing the rounds. Yeah, but I find that stuff, I find a lot of the creator economy, content creation stuff super, super interesting.
Yeah, agreed. And finally, where can people find you?
No,
they can't really.
I'm kind of off the grid.
Yeah, this research was brought to you by me knowing you. You have like no social media, no presence anywhere. I think
only
search is the App Store.
Yeah, if you can just find me on Instagram. I have all the accounts, but I don't check any of them or post on any of them. I have the weakest LinkedIn of all time, and it's gonna you should stay away. You don't want to be associated. You don't want to be associated with that. That's pretty funny. Yeah, Instagram, I guess.
Instagram? What about, you want to plug your stuff, all the apps that are out there?
Oh, well, there's a Daze Cam on the App Store.
D-A-Z-E Cam.
Sweet Film on the App Store. And also, if you are a programmer, back-end engineer, iOS developer, or you're into audio programming, signal processing, whatever, and you're interested in working on something, let me know, because there's big stuff in the works.
Big stuff. Everyone reach out to Darren. Thanks for coming on the show, man. I'll see you probably in the next 2 days.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.